So let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God as we read from Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. I want to talk to you on this one subject this morning. Living by faith. Living by faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that we as your people could walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is trusting you, not ourselves. Your power, not our power. You seeing things that we don't see, and you understanding things we don't understand. And we as children following you and depending on you. Now please, Holy Spirit, meet with us. Guide us, direct us. And Father, I ask that you'd flow through me to your people, that we as your people can know exactly what you have for us today, that as we go through this coming week, we get strength from what we learn. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Hebrews chapter 11 has long been known as the faith chapter in the Bible. It chronicles the lives of men and women in the Bible who showed faith in the face of adversity. We see stories of how these people trusted God, how God blessed them, and God blessed their faith because they trusted in the Lord. There's nothing more important in your life and in my life as Christians than trusting God. I wish I could say that we could trust men and we could trust institutions. But institutions change as men who lead those institutions change. Men are sinners. And we have a tendency to allow sin to influence us. No matter how long I've been saved and no matter how faithful I've been to the Word of God and to His service, I always find myself in a battle with sin. In chapter 11, we see people that face the same things that you and I faced, the same challenges that you and I face. And God records for us in His unchangeable form and fashion the truth about faith so that we could depend on Him and in His Word rather than ourselves or on man or institutions. I'm glad I can trust on my God because He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what He did for Moses, He'll do for me. And what He did for David, He'll do for me. What He did for Paul, He'll do for me. What He did for Peter, He'll do for me. And ladies and gentlemen, He will do for you. All we have to do is by faith, trust Him, and He will sustain us and lead us through. I want to give you a few things as we study this portion of Scripture this morning. Number one, faith is simply believing God. Faith is simply believing God. When we believe God and what He's promised us, we can trust God because He has everything under control. I don't have much under control in my life, it seems like. It seems like here's man's situation. Are you ready? We're either not having issues or we're going into an issue, or we're coming out of an issue. Or we're not in trouble, or we're going into trouble, or we're coming out of trouble. Because that's the way of man. But with God, I don't have to worry about that because He's in control. He's in the driver's seat. My daughter the other day, we were going somewhere and she said, "Would you like me to drive?" We were in her car. She said, "Would you like me to drive?" I said, "Yes. I don't have to readjust your seat. And I'm just going to trust you. You just take me where we need to go." And that's what faith in God is. Is trusting Him to be in control. That He will lead us in any direction that He wants to take us. Not that I want to go, "Oh, I always think I got the answers." But can I tell you who always does have the answers? The Lord does. You know, when it comes to marriage, can I tell you who has all the answers? Jesus does. Not the husband, not the wife, not a marriage counselor. Jesus Christ. He has the answers. Can I tell you when it comes to the ups and downs of financial issues in your life? Can I tell you who has the answer? Jesus has the answer. Not a financial institution, not a financial advisor, but Jesus Christ. I can always depend on Him. Can I tell you one of the things He tells me to do as a Christian that'll help my finances grow? Simple thing. At least we use the term simply. Is tithe. When I tithe, God will start to bless me. If I don't tithe, God is not going to bless me. I remember when I first learned that as a very young Christian. I said, I told the pastor who led me to Christ, I said, I can't afford to tithe. And here's what his words were. Are you ready? You can't afford not to tithe. And you know what? He was right. And all these years I've been serving God, He's always overflowed with blessings. I may have never had much to give. But whatever I received, I gave my 10%, and then I gave an offering, which is above my tithe. That's trusting Christ. He knows what to do. So faith is simply believing God. We must have faith that God knows what's going on, and He has our best interest in mind. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, a very familiar portion of Scripture to most of us, in Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. A life of faith is not characterized by doubt and fear. A life of faith is characterized by placing our confidence in God and knowing that He will see us through. Not that we will see us through. I must depend on Him. When I trust God and put Him first place in my life, and I put my hands in His hands, and I, by faith, give myself to Him, He will guide me in every direction I need to go. While many people worry about finances and the direction of their life and life after death and what the future holds, can I be honest with you? I don't have to worry about any of that. All I got to do is go along for the ride. Because He's already got it planned out. I'm just going to walk with Him. I'm not going to be the director. I'm not going to be the driver. I'm going to follow Him. I have a pastor friend one day. He was up in Michigan and he was driving a car in a big snowstorm. And his wife was sitting next to him and she was very worried. And suddenly they started to slide on the ice. We've seen that here in Texas. And his wife reached out and grabbed the steering wheel and he reached up and smacked the back of her hand and said, "Let that thing go! I know where I'm going!" And she said, "No!" And she grabbed it and put him right into a ditch. That's exactly what happens with our life when we won't let God have control. God says, "No, no, don't worry about it. I have it under control." And we go, "No!" And we grab the steering wheel and then we end up in a ditch. Not where God intended us to be, because He had it under control. It's us that got flustered. It was us that had fear. It was us that got scared. But God doesn't have fear. He knows where He's going. He's got it all plotted out. I can put my confidence in Him, knowing He's got it all figured out. So I can depend on Him. I can have confidence that God's in control. While having faith that God assures me of His guidance and protection, having a faith in God is a choice. Having faith in God is a choice. It's a choice that we make. It's a choice that He gives us. We don't have to follow Him. And we can still be His children. He still loves us. He'll still forgive us of our sins. Now, He'll convict us of our sins. And He'll try to bring us back to Him. Because He loves us. But it's a choice. We have a choice whether we're going to follow His will or not follow His will. Follow Him by faith or walk by sight. The Bible says we need to walk by faith, not by sight. That's faith. When we let Christ trust us completely with our lives, He will direct our whole life. I read a story one time of a traveler who was in the early days of the West, came to the Mississippi River and discovered that there was no bridge to get across. Fortunately, at that time, it was in the middle of winter, and the great river was sheeted over by ice. But the traveler was afraid. He was afraid to cross the river. He didn't know how thick it was. He didn't know if it would sustain him. He didn't want to fall through the ice. So he got down very carefully and cautiously and on his hands and knees, and he crept across the ice. He was about halfway across, and he heard singing coming from the side he was just on. And then he heard horses' hooves. Cautiously, he turned around, and there, out of the fog of the from the ice, came another traveler, driving a horse, four horses, and a cart full of coal, going to the other side, singing as he goes. He got to the guide, and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I wasn't sure the ice would hold me." He said, "Oh, come on, just trust us. Let's go on." And they got across to the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, that's trusting Christ. Not knowing what the other side holds. Just trusting Him. Knowing He knows where you're going. He knows where He's going. He knows how to get there. He knows how to guide us. He knows how to be our strength. He knows how to be our power. Well, and this is my favorite part. You ready? He knows how to answer our prayer. When I don't know what to do, I can run to Him. And He'll open up the gates of heaven into His throne room. I run like a little child. And I run across the throne room and I leap into the air and I land in His lap. And He always treats me in my prayer life as if I'm the only human being that's ever been around. Because He's never ever too busy for us. And He's never too busy for you. Many years ago, my uncle was asked to be the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare under President John F. Kennedy. And shortly after he was appointed and accepted the appointment and started working as Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, the Cuban Missile Crisis happened. They're sitting in the Oval Office. You have the general sitting on the chairs and the Air Force people sitting and the naval people were there. He said the defense people were there. He was sitting in his chair and the president's talking and all of a sudden the door burst open and in come little John. And he ran across and the president, John Kennedy, was sitting in his rocker. And John leaped into the air, landed in his papa's lap, and he started to talk to his daddy, and his daddy stopped the whole meeting just to talk to John. One of the generals looked over at the president and said, "Mr. President, this is a time of great duress. We can't be interrupted like this." And the president held up his finger like this and said, "Stop. This is my son. I always have time for my son." And that's how God is with you and I. He always has time for us. He's never too busy. There's all sorts of things going on all over this world right now. And yet I can go to Him and you can go to Him. By faith believing. And He will hear and answer our prayers. That's so wonderful. I'm never alone. I never have to walk with a broken heart. He's always there with me. He always tells me that I don't have to bear the cross. That we'll take it together. For His burden is light. And so will mine be. What a great God we serve. Ladies and gentlemen, we can trust our God. We can trust Him to guide our lives. We can choose to put our faith in Him and depend on Him. So are we living by faith? Are we trusting Him? That's the question that we have to ask ourselves. Am I living by faith? Number two, what else can I learn this morning? Number two, I have to choose to surrender. I have to choose to surrender. You have to choose to surrender. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, let me read that to you. It says this, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Look at that statement right there. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, where are they listed here? This is in the book, chapter 11 of Hebrews. We said earlier that this is the great chapter of faith. Here is Moses' parents. They've been told that they're not allowed to have men children. They told, under threat of death, not only for that child, but also punishment to the parents, that they would be punished if they did. But they trusted God. They knew that they could put their faith in God. And let me read that verse again to you. There, We see in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. It wasn't by what his parents thought would happen. It was by faith. It's not how his parents looked at it. It was their faith in God that they were putting their faith in. That because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We have to learn to put our trust in the Lord. It doesn't automatically come. That is not how the world leads us. The world teaches us all through our life that we make our own decisions. That's how we raise our children. We raise our children to be independent, don't we? We say, listen, I need you to learn to make good decisions. I need you to learn to be independent. I need you to learn to run your own home. And so all through their life, we teach them to be independent, 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 independent. And by the way, to live in this world, you need that. But that's not God's economy. God's economy is the exact opposite. From the time I got saved as a young adult to this day, I have had to learn, don't depend on yourself, depend on God. Don't depend on yourself, depend on God. Don't depend on yourself, depend on God. And I often think about my grandchildren, how little they are, especially when they're first born. They can't do anything for themselves. Last week, my youngest granddaughter was in our church services. She's 1 year old. She cannot feed herself. Now she tries, but she doesn't know where her food's at. She goes through the cupboards and pulls out things, but she doesn't know where the food is. She can't prepare her meals. She cannot feed herself. She cannot pay the electric bill. She cannot pay the mortgage payment. She cannot pay the insurance. She cannot pay for the car payment. She cannot pay for the insurance on the car. She can't pay for the gas bill. She can't pay for the air conditioning. She can't work to get things done. She can barely walk on her own. She's totally dependent on her parents. That's what God wants for you and me. He wants us to grow backwards from the world. And that's a choice I have to make. I have to choose that I'm going to trust Him, that I'm not going to trust myself. I have to believe that I can put my confidence in God and do the same thing that Moses' parents did. By faith, choose to trust God rather than everything else that's going on around us. When Moses was born, Pharaoh's decree was that all Jewish males were to be killed. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 16, it says this, and he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see that they're upon the stool, if it be a son, then they shall kill him. But if a daughter, she shall live. God's will for Moses was that one day he was to lead Israel to the promised land. God's will for Moses that one day by faith, Moses would receive the information that we have as the Pentateuch, which is the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy. Those first 5 books of the Bible all came through Moses. That was God's will. God knew what needed to be done. His parents didn't know that. They had no advance warning. God did not write a post-it note in heaven, stick it up there and say, here, Moses' parents, look at that. This is what I intend for this young man. They had no idea what God intended for his life. Just like my parents had no idea what God intended for my life, and you had no idea what God intended for your children's life, and your parents had no idea what God had intended for your life. By faith, they simply trusted God. That was their choice. Ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we choose to surrender to God's will rather than to the world or to ourselves or to our flesh. We have 3 major enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're constantly telling us we need to follow them, follow them, follow them, follow them. But the truth is, I need to follow God. I need to depend on Him, walk with Him. I need to put my faith to work. I believe in God. Now I got to trust Him. Salvation works that way. We believe God will save us, but wait, just knowing that He'll save us is not believing. And once I put my faith that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, then I put my faith in that Jesus paid my sin debt. He was buried and rose again from the dead for payment for my personal sin. Then I know I have eternity. We talked last week that all the promises of God, I think it was last week, all the promises of God are yes. Yea, in Him. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 12. It's like a light switch. There's always power going to these lights up here. Always. Always. It only gets interrupted by a switch. Flip the switch, it turns it on. Flip the switch, it turns it on. The only thing that stops the power from getting the light bulb is the switch. God made a promise to you. He said, by faith, trust me, and I'll take care of you. By faith. God says to you, it's up to you though. We've got to flip that switch on. By faith, trust Him. If we don't turn on that switch, that power's there. It's there. We can go all day long, how come God won't do this for me? Did you float for the switch of faith? That's what we have to do. Number three. I said we can learn a couple things this morning. I said, number one, that we need that faith is trusting God. Number two, it's a choice. We have to surrender. We have to choose to surrender. Number three, faith also has confidence. Faith also has confidence. The last part of our verse says, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment that we just read about Moses' parents. They're not afraid. They had confidence. Why did they have confidence? Because they had faith. They were trusting God. They didn't know how it was going to go. They just knew that God would make it work. If I was a betting man, and I'm not, so I won't bet. But if I was a betting man, I'd bet a whole lot of money. But since I'm not, I'll just bet a quarter. Now, if I was a betting man, I'd put a lot of money on the fact that Moses' mother had no idea that she would ever feed her son again. By faith, trusting God, Miriam runs to Pharaoh's daughter and says, would you like me to get a mama to feed the baby for you? Why, sure. And who does Miriam get? Moses' mother. Can you imagine the joy she must have felt inside? Can you imagine the excitement she must have known that Pharaoh's daughter was now going to protect her son? And that she was going to get him back for a while. Can you imagine how they felt as they watched Moses grow in Pharaoh's home? They didn't know what Moses was going to do. But it sure beats being put to death as an infant. All because they had confidence that God was going to take care of them when they put their faith in Him. True faith removes all fear. True faith removes all fear. Illustration. If you walked up to me today and said, I'll just tell it the story how it goes. One day in Longview, Texas, I was out knocking doors and seeing people and talking to them about Jesus Christ. I saw a bunch of men standing out by a tree. I walked over to those men. There are three men there. I pulled my New Testament out of my pocket and I said to them, I said, if you die today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. And they said, no, we don't. I said, would you like, if I could show you God's personal promise, that no matter what happens the rest of your life, Jesus would take you straight to heaven when you died. Would you take God's promise? They said, well, you'd have to be a fool not to. And I took my New Testament. I started talking to him about Jesus Christ. A man walks up, pulls out a .38 special, points it at me and said, preacher, get out of here. I said, I'm talking to these men about heaven right now. When I'm done, I'll be happy to go. He said, that Bible isn't going to stop this bullet. I said, I know. I said, but let me ask you a question. Let's say that you pull that trigger, that bullet goes through me and kills me, but I'm standing in front of a tree and it ricochets off that tree and then ricochets off a rock and comes and strikes you and hits you in the heart and you die. Do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? He said, no, I'd go to hell. I said, wouldn't you rather know you're going to heaven than going to hell? He said, why, sure I would. I said, well, stand with these fellows. When I'm done, then you can shoot me. He said, okay. I led all four of them to Jesus Christ as their Savior. The man with tears in his eyes came to me and my wife as we were standing there and said, my mama's dying right now at home. And my mama and my sister, they don't know what you just taught me. They're on their way to hell. Would you go tell them what you just told us? I said, sure. He gave me the address and we left. We had a little van. We left to go find it. I couldn't find the house. My wife said, well, I turned around and started going back. My wife said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to go get that guy. She said, the guy with the gun? I said, yeah. He knows where he lives. I can't find his house. She said, you think you want to do that? I said, oh, sure. I said, can't scare me with heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. If he would have shot me right then, I have no doubt I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I'm good? No. Because I'm good looking? Kind of. Because I'm smart? No. I'm going to heaven because Jesus saved me. I took his promise. I put my faith in him. I have confidence that heaven's my home. I don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm going to heaven! Woo! Isn't that wonderful? I don't have to worry. My confidence is in him. Picked that man up. Took him to his house. We got out of the car. My wife went into the bedroom with the mother and the daughter and won them to Christ. I sat out front and started talking to the young man about what he needed to do. And he said, preacher, I want to give you something. I said, okay. And he pulled out the gun and he handed it to me. He said, get this away from me. I don't want to ever have it again. I said, okay. Took it to the church. We had some police officers that were attending the church at that place. And I gave it to them to dispose of. Ladies and gentlemen, when you have your confidence in God, when you put your faith in God and you trust Him, you don't have to worry about what tomorrow holds. I know what tomorrow holds. Tomorrow holds whatever God has for me. And I'm not going to change that. Why? Because I'm going to put my confidence, my trust in Him, not in me. I'm going to put my trust of eternity in Him, not in me. Listen, that's why I read my Bible. So the more I read my Bible, the more I can understand what God's promises are. The more I can understand what He said He's going to do. The more I can trust Him. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. If I want my faith to grow, then I need to be in God's Word. The more I trust His Word, the more I can depend on Him. So the questions are you surrendered this morning? Are you living by faith? Are you willing to trust God? Are you willing to make that choice to put all your confidence in Him like Moses' parents put in God? He loves you. He never wants anything outside of His will to happen to you. So all I have to do is put my faith and confidence in Him. He'll never steer you the wrong way. I love that. And it's all by faith. By faith. Father, thank you for the simple truth we've learned today. Holy Spirit, please have your way in our invitation.